The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
A little different tonight. We're on the telephone for this particular program due to circumstances beyond our control. So, nonetheless, I'm here, you're there, and we're going to learn more things tonight. There's a lot going on. I can't even begin to keep up with it sometimes. It's very difficult. It's a challenge. It's fun to try to pick out the stories that really make sense. I've got some great helpers who are citizen journalists, and I really appreciate all the things they do. They know what stories we want, and they often contribute those to help with the flow of information. It's huge. Meanwhile, what's going on at the border? I don't suppose there are many Christmas lights or Christmas trees down there, because there is no border. People are just coming on in. William Gein is back tonight on Wednesdays. Hello, William. Happy holiday season to you.
Jeff, you sound crisp and clear and 10 years younger. I like it.
Ah, very good. Well, I'll take that. Okay,
you've got a microphone Botox going on over there. You sound very vintage.
Ah, vintage. That's the story. Vintage. Yes. So I sound 10 years younger. I sound 29. That's incredible.
Yeah, you say. Right. I know. It seems like only yesterday you were 30. Let me tell you about the border. There's evidence that illegals are starting to self to deport. Caravans are breaking up. And
I read that. This is one thing. This is important before we get into that. It's caravans. It's on the other side of the border. They're actually turning around. That's what William is getting at. I just want to make that clear. They're not even crossing in many cases. Go ahead.
Yeah, and there's expectations at work here, but it's hard to really, and we don't have to, you know, discover all the secrets of the universe on this particular program tonight, but, you know, there's a lot of evidence growing that there could be a tectonic shift taking place, not just with the election. I mean, of course, the election was a really big deal, and stopping the Biden administration and the stuff that they were doing that was really exposed a lot because of alternative media and podcasts and shows like programs like this show program. I know you don't like the worship program like this and others that were really starting to get the information to a critical mass about non-citizen voters and the using the tax resources to fly the illegals in and put them in five-star hotels. A lot of that stuff happened, but there is just rumblings in so many different directions from banking.
Yes.
To Walmart,
the whole
DEI thing seems to be coming down or changing. There may be a real opportunity. I believe there's a real opportunity here. Now, whether it's going to turn into something finally, at long last, beneficial for the American citizens of all races and walks of life is to be determined. you know, and it's going to be based on a lot of what people do. I mean, a lot of people, but if people think, oh, well, just because Trump and some Republicans won, it's all going to take place and I don't need to do anything else, that's just not the way to think about this. This will not cruise control to safety and success. The powers that have done this to us and the ones that are still committed to doing this to us, you know, they are perfectly content to have Republicans lead us to the exact same place the Democrats would. In fact, that's their game. That's how they roll. But, you know, I just watched a video clip of Lindsey Graham speaking out against amnesty.
Oh, we can't have any type of crap. Look, I'm sorry. I have no tolerance for that. And the people who voted for him, shame on you. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I agree. But whoever's hand is up his backside making his mouth move,
yeah,
is doing something like the strongest Republican voice for amnesty next to John McCain is suddenly admonishing against amnesty, because see, the amnesty threat right now is very real, not just in the lame duck, but the threat is a different type of threat. It's not that the threat is that somehow an amnesty bill legislation is going to slip by us and end up on Biden's desk before he walks out the door. While that is a possibility, and it is something that we need to be very vigilant about, especially things that would create a amnesty during the Trump administration hidden in some funding bills, those are all very real threats. But hear me out on this, Jeff. From the macro strategy, so many things in play right now, from what Trump is trying to say about mass deportations that he's promised. Well, let me just say, Trump has one main mandate on immigration: two, securing the border and mass deportations of illegals. He does not have a mandate to give the Dreamers some access to citizenship. He does not
have
a mandate.
What was your reaction when he said that he wants the Dreamers to stay?
Well, it reminded me of 2016 when he promised to end DACA on day one and he started to turn. And what he said there, okay, now I do not believe that one instance on that one talk show is enough to sink his administration. However, what he's playing with could. It completely messed him up the first time. It cost him his reelection, and it stole the wind out of his sails. He came rumbling through 2016 with all this momentum and all this ability to do things, and he gave up his initiative to the other side and upset his own base and was scrambling for the rest of the time playing defense, and it just went all downhill and crashed. Now, he's been given this other opportunity, and then here he's starting to do it. There's the crack. If Donald Trump keeps talking about Dreamer Act amnesty or pursues it or says he has no mandate to cut a deal with Democrats, he never once said during the campaign, I'm going to cut a deal with Democrats for the Dreamers, because he wouldn't be in office right now if he had done it, because a bunch of the people that voted for him and gave him money would have walked away. But he said it on the talk show, and yep. And look, I'm all for ending birthright citizenship. I would like to see birthright citizenship ended. I am cautious, although he's running that up the flagpole and saying he's going to do it by executive action. While I would like for that to be successful, while I would support that if I thought it would be successful, I've always felt that Congress could end birthright citizenship by clarifying the constitutional amendments and saying, here is a law that clarifies the intention of the 14th Amendment. It does not apply to illegal aliens. No, we don't have to have constitutional stuff. So a lot of huge things are possible at this moment if we can get Trump into office without being derailed. But the big amnesty threat is him talking about, because my organization, Alipac, and you know, we'll survey all of the people who are signed up for our email alerts at alipac.us. You're going to be getting a survey to make sure everybody's still the way that we think you were, because back, we stopped amnesty under Lindsey Graham's amnesty in 2005 and 2006. They went back to the drawing board, said, we can't get this amnesty through, so let's make one for kids that we claim came here to no will of their own when they were little bitty children, and call that the Dreamers and the Dream Act amnesty, and get amnesty for that as a sneaky way to get the whole amnesty. We're going to make the point of the spear to pierce America's armor thinner. They wouldn't do anything to stop these little kids. Well, Alipac fought against, and successfully, it was actually our strategy that canned Dick Durbin's Dream Act in 2010, and then we stopped them again in 2012, and then after we stopped them legislatively two or three times, Obama said, you know what? Record rip. Let's just do it. DACA.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah. And so the fact that Trump is singing their song, it's a very bad sign, because that little smoldering fire right there, which a lot of people will give him a pass on right now because they don't want to go negative with him. They don't want to destroy the enthusiasm and the momentum. They don't want to see it all wreck. The danger from amnesty right now is it can completely derail the Trump administration. And I want the Trump administration
to succeed.
Well, that's
a big statement, and I think you're right. I do. Yeah.
So we need to be operating as a national pressure group to try to steer things. It's not just Trump this time. There's a lot of other people in the mix that are...
This is a huge... We got to meet them at the first obstacle, and this is a big obstacle, and force them to back up and stand on their word. Trump, he said it. Now he's talking about he wants them to stay. No, Donald, that's not what you were voted in for. No.
Well, I would like an opportunity to hold him to the things that he promised us.
Correct.
Pressure
every one
us.
Of them. You should make a list, William, as much as you can, and check them off.
I would love to have an opportunity to make that list. But right now, we're in organizational survival mode. There were things that happened during the elections and costs and expenses. I have to either re-up our website hosting or move it some other place, and I have to raise the funds to protect the world's largest archive of information on this topic. And we have some unpaid bills and taxes and things that must be paid in 2024. We have to raise over $5,000 more before the end of December if we're going to fight into 2025. I'm asking everybody.
Let me take over here. There is nothing in this country more important than Ali Pak when it comes to representing the people. You people, you're not going to get this kind of representation from virtually anyone in the federal government. We have to go outside the government to put pressure on the government to get the government to begin to act like it gives a damn about what the people want. And what the people want is their country back. AliPak.us is your biggest and, in my view, only voice to stand up to these bastards and make them heal, make them responsible, make them act. So if you can afford, everyone's got Christmas now, and unfortunately Christmas is all too often measured by how many presents you get. You know the game. That's not going to be the way it is anymore, but people are really struggling. 60% of America is using credit cards to just make it every month. Those credit cards in every household average over $10,000 in debt. So it's not easy. You can't just go into your pockets, many of you, and pull out $20 and send it to Ali Pak. You have to support them, though, somehow. Give yourself a Christmas gift by supporting William at AliPak.us. There's nobody else who's going to get to these liars and dirtbags like William and Ali Pak. So give yourself a little gift. Send him $10, $20. Please do that to help him. I've been in this business a long time. I have never seen anything more heroic or dedicated or devoted as I have watching William and Ali Pak try to make those bastards do what they're supposed to do, and that's honor the Constitution and the formerly United States of America with international borders. All right? It's a shame I even have to talk like this. So please try to help. Send something. And maybe we'll get a matching donor here at some point, but this has to be done by the first of the year. So if you can do it, I would appreciate it, and I know William has already spoken about that many times.
Thank you, Jeff. And if people would like to contribute, our secure contributions page is at www.alipak.us/donations/. That's alipak.us/donations/. And I'd like to mention something about the matching donations. We've used matching donations many times through the years, through where a larger donor who can contribute $500,000, sometimes more, offers the matching funds to help our $25 and $50 donors incentivize and double their gift. And I'm very careful about this because we don't share our donor data. We don't share our email list. We don't do like so many of people out there I know who have given to a candidate and then found themselves on some mailing list being deluged with junk mail. We don't do any of those things. But I can talk about, because we put it out in the open, two of Alipac's largest donors of all time have gone inactive in 2024. One of them, I'm not going to mention her by name, but she usually offered, I would say, $300 or $400, $500 matching offers during the year, and people who get our email. She's in hospice care now, and she's gotten us a long way, and she's been with us many years, but, you know, it's her time to spend with her family. The other larger donor who had offered, you would usually offer us $1,000 matching offers through the year, has gone silent, and we haven't heard from this person, and we're not going to pry because, you know, it's not really our business. You know, if it was something that they wanted us to know, that they would tell us. You know, we don't have any information, you know, but that's, we've lost our two largest donors, and so that the $10,000 hole that I'm trying to fill in December is mostly the missing matching funds and the funds that the smaller donors would send in to these two people who have carried more of the financial weight of our organization than anybody else over the last 5 to 10 years. Right. And so we're dealing with a double whammy there. So anybody that could step in with, you know, even just a once-a-year $500 match or something like that, please email me, contact me.
Well, how about even a $200 match to whatever? Just get it out there.
Well, we usually try to get it to $500.
That makes more sense. I understand. But the point is, we cannot let this magnificent organization fall by the wayside in any way. We're up the creek without a paddle. We're up the creek without a boat.
I'm asking for the funds to have the opportunity to try to reengage. I mean, I'm engaged with the content and stuff like that, but I can't ask people to run around and say, "Here's our plan on how to peacefully deport over 20 million illegals and circulate it." I can't focus on things like that and then just have the organization say, "Hey, it's the end of the year. We couldn't meet the bills. We're closing." You know, we have to do the organization's survival funds because there are mathematical realities. We operate on a very shoestring budget. We get a lot of bang for the buck, but, you know, at the end of the day, the website has to stay up, the taxes have to be paid, all the things that we have to, the national organization has to do, have to be done. So, but what I'm hoping that people out there who have listened to what you and I have talked about and what we've had to say, since we are clearly in a new environment now, we're in a new opportunity and shifting environment where very large powers that be seem to be in some state of transition or flux, possibly. I don't know the full reasons why, but I speculate, you know, we saw a lot of movement in the black community. We saw a lot of movement in the Hispanic community. There's a lot of movement in the Jewish community. There's probably, I would say, especially after what happened in Manhattan last week, you know, even the financial elites are on the move. I keep going back to that Sunday Henry Kissinger interview where he appeared out of nowhere after silence for decades and promoted some new book, which I plan to buy and read if I can find it for Christmas. He was mumbling on a talk show about, "We have to rethink this policy about mass migration to Western countries because it looks like we may have really screwed the pooch on that one." You know, and I was like, "Oh my God, Henry Kissinger's on a Sunday talk show talking like an immigration restrictionist like William Gein. Oh my God." Now, 2 weeks later, he's dead, right? Because, you know, wow. But when you look at it, Facebook, Twitter, banks, Walmart, there's a lot of shifting going on, and I'm asking for the funding to stabilize my organization so I can immerse myself in it, adapt, improvise. We need to retool. We need to look at the battlefield and say, where are the pressure points? Where are the choke points? Where can we make an impact? What is our messaging? Right. What are we focusing on? We know we want to focus on the mass deportations. We know we want to focus because on sharing the information we have about how those could work. We know we want to focus on getting the non-citizen voters, which were poised to sweep the Democrats for the election but got derailed. I think that a big portion of the 11 million Democrat votes that disappeared were people who voted for Democrat in the past who are not down with the wokeness and the trans sterilization of children and the mass migration invasion. But I think the other part of it was, Jeff, that between the different levels of awareness, with Twitter being freed up and everybody having a camera on their hip and half the black and Hispanic male population not being on their team and podcasters like James O'Keefe embedding themselves in the election, I think a lot of the election steal was thwarted. I think a big portion of that missing 11 million
votes. It looked like some of the former template items were not fully used. It looks like they thought about it. Maybe they backed away at some point. There were evidences of some kind of rigging that never really reached fruition. That's how I saw it.
Well, and do you remember the video of where a busload of, migrants came up with the little stickers on their chest, the Walls Harris stickers on them, and their handlers took them to the front of the voting line in front of a bunch of angry Americans. Yeah, and all of a sudden everybody saw it, and everybody's like, oh, so what did the rest of them think? You know, oh, yeah, did you hear what happened? I think that they had trouble getting it to go off. We have this opportunity. There are more than enough Rhino Republicans in the Senate and the House to derail the whole thing, mess the whole thing up, get an amnesty going, make the focus amnesty. Amnesty will attract illegals to keep coming in. Amnesty will encourage illegals to stay at a time where many of these illegals, I can't tell you how many, Jeff, but a large volume of illegals will leave if they're told authoritatively and firmly to go. They're amazed that they're here. Many of them can't believe it.
I agree, but let me submit this. They will be right on the simple fact that Trump said he wants the Dreamers to stay. That will only encourage them. You know that.
Exactly.
It's the wrong message, Donald.
Yes.
Wrong.
And it's the type of thing where we beat the DREAM Act amnesty, and we know what it can do to derail.
That's
he's
right.
trying. To, he's trying now. He is trying to say that this will happen down the road. You see, and now if it were to happen after we got 20 million illegals out of here, okay, maybe. Maybe we could talk. Maybe they should send somebody to talk to me in Alibac and say, hey, because they had somebody talking to Numbers USA. Numbers USA jumped in on the first Trump thing and supported some type of deal on the Dreamers that we didn't support. But we've got to survive. The organization has to raise these funds to survive into 2025 for these things to be attempted or possible by us.
Right. Well, Donald is not off to the right foot with that statement. That statement should not have been made now. There's plenty of time for it 6 months from now, a year from now. No, he's got to stay on task and honor his vows and pledges to America. If he doesn't, damn it, we've got real problems. I don't forget. I remember 2016 to 2020. I remember all the broken pledges, promises. I remember. I don't forget. And this guy is I just don't think he's his own man. We'll stop with that. But let's hope. But without pressure that William's talking about, being able to be brought to bear on Congress, on the House and Senate, and certainly others, we got nothing. There's no other organization. There are three of the majors out there. Alipac is the only one, in my view, that is really worth a damn, and it is a great success. William's track record is second to none. Nobody can touch that. So let's pitch in and get this thing underway. Make sure that we get the funds rolling toward him. If I had it, I'd write him a check right now. I know what this means to us. There's no other organization out there. You got a Superman with William Gein, and agree with him or not, it doesn't matter. If you're an American citizen, you've got to understand the importance of this organization. All right, go ahead. We got to take a break here, actually. Let's do that right now. All right, everyone, think about that, please, and give them the address again to go to make the donation if they can.
Yeah, online, it's www.alipac.us/donations/. And by mail, it's Alipac at P.O. Box 30966, Raleigh, N.C., 27622.
Very good. All right, we'll be right back in a few minutes. Hang on.
Cody, I have to run.
William, about invaders. I don't call them illegal immigrants. I'm sorry. They're invaders. They're coming here against the law, international law, American law, and they're not supposed to be here. Many of them, I would say 85% are fighting-aged males. We're not seeing that many families here. These are single men who came over here. And they are eminently accessible as being terrorists. They'll fight if they're given weapons. Many of them, they don't like this country. They're here because they want a free ride. They're just low-life scum. And they come from jails and prisons. There are over 60, 70 countries these people have come from. But the key problems are those Venezuelan gangsters, which are operating right now, for example, in every major city in Tennessee. Every city. Is that what you want to happen to your city? You got to stop this. If Trump is not made to perform, he ought to be out. He ought to be impeached, in my view. You can't con people like that and then say, oh, well, we're going to have to do it a different way. Sorry, Don, we've been through that with you for 4 years. Go ahead, William.
Well, a lot of these illegal invaders will leave if you turn off the government cell phones, benefits, and jobs.
I agree.
And job access. And that's how we're gonna weigh the performance of the Trump administration. We need public pressure starting day one that is constantly beating the drums of how many illegals have you gotten out of the country? How many have you deported? How many have self-deported? What other steps have you taken to get the illegals out of the country? You have a mandate. What's that? DREAM Act. No. We're not talking about the DREAM Act. You didn't campaign on the DREAM Act. That's 180 degrees opposite of what we're talking about. Why are you trying to attract these people to stay? Don't tell these people they got a reason to stay and hope to get some type of DREAM Act. What are you, crazy? They're leaving. They're leaving on their own, and you're going to call out to them and say, well, wait a minute. No. It's got to be there. I mean, we've proven the mandate. The election proved that across racial demographics, whites, blacks, Hispanics, together, all want illegals to go home. We don't want anything mean to happen to them. We don't want them to be abused. Of course, the press will be all over the place looking for some ICE agent.
Well, let's not forget how many Americans they're killing. I have no mercy for them. They came up here on their own. Get them the hell out of here.
Yeah, but the first time an ICE agent or somebody roughs one of them up, it's going to monkey wrench the whole thing.
I hope Americans are a little bit bigger than to do that. As long as the president honors his commitment to the people and the voters who voted for him, we're fine. If he starts playing around, not fine.
Everybody gets on the bus and the trains and the planes and goes home, we got no problem. That's what's important. That's what needs to happen here to satisfy the laws, the Constitution, and the will of the American public. And that's what has to happen here to get us out of this uniparty, permanent, socialist, Democrat future that these people have tried to force upon us through this invasion. And it has to start with the first million, step by step by step. And it's going to take a long time. And we want it to take some time. There is going to be economic and personal hardships if we succeed in deporting or removing or pushing out, or however you want to word it, 20 million illegal alien invaders. It's going to cause economic hardship in several sectors: farming, construction, food and restaurant, hospitality industry, janitorial industry, all sorts of industries are going to have some problems. Just like in alcohol.
Americans might have to go back to work, huh? Okay.
Well, just like an alcohol or drug addict has to go through the pain of withdrawal to save their lives by quitting what it is that they're hooked on that's killing them, that's what we have to go through. But we've seen this before. We've seen the illegals flee states and towns before. We've seen it in Georgia, where I can't remember how many years ago it was now, because I've been doing this a while, and this has been tough on brain and body and health and everything else, but I can't remember the year, but they passed a law in Georgia, and the illegals fled, and they were like, oh my God, this whole town where the illegals were working at this factory all took off one night. Because they're very mobile. They migrate. They're migrantes. They loaded up their late model SUVs and Ford F-150 trucks and got out of Dodge. What happened to the factory? It had to slow down for a little bit, and it had to raise wages a bit, and then it started hiring American citizens and people out of jails and stuff like that, and slowly other workers came in. There's going to need to be some hardship and some transitioning, but it can all be handled. It can all be handled correctly. Now, if anybody wants to get stubborn and show their butts or try to run and hide and game the system some more, whatever, or conduct, rapes and murders and fentanyl dispersal on our kids and stuff like that, well, yeah, we're going to yank them up by the collar and put them in put them to work. I would put them to work. I'd put them in pink underwear with Sheriff Joe Arpaio building the walls is what I would do. But the rest of them, they've been brought here for this purpose by these globalists that have paid them and given them all these hopes and monies and promises. And we have to take those away. And if George Soros or any of his groups and NGOs or Catholic charities or rainbow coalitions or whatever get in the way, we need to bag him and tag him and charge him with that federal crime against enticing illegals to enter or remain in the United States illegally.
Right.
And shut them down and seize their assets. That's the whole thing. We tell the illegals, if you get out of Dodge on your own and you go now and you process out, we'll let you take your stuff. We'll let you take your F-150 with you. We'll let you take your bank accounts with you. We'll let you, take your kids with you. Here's a bottle of baby formula and some fresh diapers. Arrivederci, baby, okay? But if you stay and we have to come get you or we catch you breaking the law, we're going to take that F-150. We're going to seize your bank accounts. And we're going to use that to repay the United States taxpayer, because that's what they've been doing with the – how long have they been doing that to American citizens with the drug war, Jeff? How long have they been seizing houses?
Yeah,
auctions have been since the early 1980s. The auction houses have been running from coast to coast with seized assets, but we can't do it to the illegals and the people who are bringing in the illegals.
I don't want to sound coarse, but I am maybe coarse. I have no sympathy for any of these people. They weren't forced at gunpoint to come up here and invade this country. Sorry. And if they've accumulated any wealth at all up here, it should all be forfeited. They're out of here.
Well, yeah,
because
but
it's
I would
been
sacrifice.
Done with a lot of our taxpayer dollars. We know this.
Right, but I would sacrifice some of that wealth with the wealth that's going to take us to find them, get them, incarcerate them, process them, fly them out. If they leave on their own, I think that we should incentivize it. And it's not because I have a heartstring for these illegals or any type of sympathy for them. I want justice to be served, and justice for illegal aliens means they go home. And whatever it takes to facilitate them going home, that's the most important thing, is that they get the hell out of here.
You know what this government did today? They put a chokehold. They seized over $20 billion in Russian-owned assets in America. These are Russian citizens, Russian businessmen. They seized $20 billion, and they declared $20 billion out of our money to cover those seized assets and have promised it to Ukraine. $20 billion more to keep the Ukraine war going.
Well, I do think a lot of that's going to shift majorly or stop on January 20th if we make it there. But some of us are going to have to keep working some through the holidays, and I know I'm on that list. But we've got to get there, and Trump's got to stay alive, and he's got to make sure he doesn't pick a bunch of the wrong people again, like he did last time, and do anything stupid like Dream Act Amnesty. But all of this takes public pressure campaigns. We want to run those pressure campaigns. If anybody out there listening supports ALIPAC's national mission against illegal immigration and amnesty and in support, and we don't need, here's one of the pitfalls. Trump was open to major immigration law change by Congress. Hell no. Hell no. He does not have a mandate to change our legal immigration laws. He did not campaign on this, and we know that every single road leading through immigration changes in laws through Congress will have an amnesty in it. You can count on it. It takes us back into the amnesty battle, and everything flies off the rails. But they're already talking about that. They're already hinting about that. And so if you support the existing laws, when we say we support the existing immigration laws of the United States, we're talking about the ones that exist right now that require employers to be fined for hiring illegals, illegals not to be able to join the military, illegals not to be able to receive any type of welfare benefits, and illegals to be deported when detected. And that, if you support that, we need your help at www.alipac.us/donations/. There's also a donate by mail feature there. We have to raise over $5,000 more before the end of December to be able to continue this into 2025. We don't have all the answers, and we can't make everything rainbows and puppy dogs, but this organization has landed the right punches at the right time sometimes that have had a major impact. You know, the main thing that we've done, people are like, well, what has Alipac done? Biden dumped 10 million here. Yeah, we didn't stop Biden from dumping 10 million illegals on our heads. That's true. But what we did do is we stopped the DREAM Act amnesty legislation. We stopped the mass amnesty legislation. If any of those had passed, all the DREAMers and tens of millions of illegals would already be voting. Donald Trump would not have won. No one campaigning anything like what he was talking about doing, mass deportations or building walls or anything like that. None of that would have occurred. Not because I'm a fortune teller, but I just know that if Dick Durbin, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, all those cats had stacked citizenship on tops of millions of illegals back in 2004, 5, 6, 10, 12. You know, recent amnesty battles, 2018, you know, stopping the Trump amnesty plan, 2020. If any of those had gone through and turn millions more illegals and non-citizens into citizens with voting rights and swing states, none of the, we would not have this conversation. We would not have this opportunity. And people who are no longer with us, or people who have gotten to places economically or age or health-wise they can no longer contribute, they got us here. You know, and I don't know how much time I have left to do this in life, or that you're there. You know how it is. I mean, it's Christmas. Yeah. It's time to stop and pause and remember. You know, we don't know, but we're here. Jeff, you're here. You're sounding younger and crisper than ever on your telephone, right?
All technology.
Your old microphone didn't work. You adapted. You improvised. You got it done. It's old school. It's old tech. I love it.
Called telephone. Yeah. All right. Well,
yes.
This is all critically important, and I know for a lot of you, you can't do it. That's fine. We understand. I understand. I'm not asking people to do anything they cannot afford. But if you can, put $20 aside, $30, whatever you can do, and help this. This organization is it. I don't think I know of any other organization that I would waste my time on except Alipac. They're the ones. I know, and you know, William, well enough to know this man will die before he gives up in trying to push this battle to a win for all of us. And again, I don't speak for William. He doesn't speak for me on a lot of things. But we do understand that this country, we either take it back now from the invaders or we're dead. We're gone. And I mean, a lot of them will be dead. I don't trust this at all. The potential here is huge for a lot of people to be in real serious trouble real quick. That potential exists, and I want them out of here.
And on that note, Jeff, when somebody does donate just $10 or $20, okay, you know, those add up, especially amongst large audiences.
Do.
But I tell you, when I see that come in, you know, I get a little email that says, you know, Jimmy Smith has contributed $10 or $20. It
nice.
Tells me people are listening.
Yeah.
That they understand what we're trying to do, and even though they might not be able to do $500 or something like that, you know, they're in the fight with us. It's very encouraging. It's a sign of, like, you know, look, I can't do much, but I'm doing something. You know, everybody
That's
out
right.
there listening could do $10. I mean, otherwise you wouldn't have a cell phone or laptop or internet connection or radio to listen to any of this. So, but, you know, and at the end of the day, we don't get the government funding. We don't get the George Soros funding. We have existed for 20 years in this fight thanks to mom and pops and grandparents and you know, 90-year-old widows in Idaho who have supported us. You know, that's how we've gotten to right. this point to even have this opportunity. And one other thing, too, Jeff, you know, between the two of us and my organization and your program and the people out there who listen and share information, many of the people that listen to this program are, you know, information aficionados, I guess. You know, they're very well-read people, very prepared for this type of thing. But if something happens and we get wind of it, we've quite often, we've helped accelerate pretty major yes. stories, too.
Yes. Yes.
Somebody could send us something and be like, "Hey, I just got this picture from a friend of mine of these 20 illegal aliens voting in Philadelphia." Uh-huh. You know, uh-huh. no matter what it is, to collectively, as long as we're still here, as long as we're still thumping along, and your producer's doing what he's doing, and the wheels continue to turn, we have the ability to warn people about stuff, to make major stories, to get things out that the powers that be don't want out. You know, and again, it's a little bit older technology between radio and internet websites and stuff like that. But how many things, I think a lot of people understand, how many people in this country can relate to the fact that your old washing machine, your older stove, your older car, your older heater, you're scared to replace it because a newfangled whatever is likely to last 3 months and quit on you? It's happening all across the country.
You know what else is happening? People are driving their cars into the ground now. They're trying to keep them running, repair them. They're not buying new cars.
Well, my car, I'm not going to tell you the color, maker, model, but it has 300,000 miles on it.
And you got me beat by about 70,000. Okay, I got 230.
Well, I've rebuilt most of it, or I paid to have most of it rebuilt. As long as the engine and trans holds, I'm going to keep going. I saw someone in a parking lot the other day that has a newer model of this car. I was like, "Hey, nice, whatever." He's like, "Oh, it's a rental." I said, "Well, I thought you might be admiring my 30-year-old, 300,000-mile version of this." He's like, "Oh, you got the good models. Those are the ones you still see on the road." I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "You don't want this one. This one's got like 24,000 miles on it. It's a rental. I can tell it's got major problems." He's like, "Yeah, this guy apparently knew cars." And he was a Hispanic gentleman who seemed to be very knowledgeable about vehicles. And he was like, "Yeah, the newer ones, they like wear out like less than 40,000 miles, and you got like major problems and stuff, you know." And in other cases, you know, I know someone who had an oven that had been in the house for 20 years that finally showed some problems and decided to replace it.
Uh-huh.
And the $4,000 replacement ended up working for about 19 months before it started, just beyond its 18-month warranty, and it starts going downhill. So your site and my site and this program and that telephone, that the telephones that you and I are conducting this interview on, are all older tech, because I'm on a handset. Now, when you say by phone, are you on a cell phone or a landline?
Oh, no. I'm on a landline desk phone. It must be 20, 25 years old.
Is it copper line? Because I was going to say, that sound that you got,
I guess that's what it is, yeah. You plug it into the wall, it's a copper line jack. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm on a handset, but it's an internet-based type, uh-huh. you know, like phone, but whatever. But, yeah, we're using older technology, but it's more stable. You know, one of the reasons that our nuclear defenses may be okay and okay from the Chinese is because they're running the nuclear silos on TRS-80 computers, Tandy Radio Shack 80 computers.
How can that be? It's incredible.
Yes, and the phones on the walls look like something that your mother or grandmother had on their kitchen wall in 1976. But because it's the older tech, the Chinese can't hack it and can't compromise it, you know, and it works, you know. I mean, the missiles do not have to have a newer fancy computer system to be launched and reach their targets around the world. You can fire them all and keep them running with a 5 1/4 black floppy disk. And that's okay by me, you know?
Amazing, yeah.
Yes, because, you know, I think that's one of the things that keeps us a little bit more hardened than, you know, because if you're on social media, even if you're on Twitter right now, you know, and things are more free than they were before, if things change, technology, you're more susceptible. The more newer and fancier and whatever that you're using, the more susceptible you are to big powers that be.
I got it. No, you're right. I'm completely in agreement. The cars now, today, and I've looked at a few of these auto crash compilations from dash cams. And cars today, they're junk. They get hit sideways and they blow up into a thousand pieces. I don't know how people survive them. They're just garbage. They used to make cars out of steel, 14-gauge steel. Now they're using 18-gauge steel. It's just trash. So be careful. Older cars, good. Nothing wrong with them. 1950s cars, good. If you can get an old Chevy pickup or something, you're going to do fine. You go up and rap on the side of one of those cars, 56 Chevy, 57, listen to the sound of the steel, and then rap on something today, and you know, it sounds like it feels and sounds like a plastic joke. Go ahead.
Well, and we're getting towards the end of the program, and as people who have made it this far with us, you know, one of the things to think about is how many people out there over the decades have wanted to shut Jeff Rentz or William Gein or anybody like us up? Individuals, groups, billionaires, you name it. How many of them really, really would prefer that people not hear what it is that we had to say about something? But Right. Here we are. We're still saying it. People are still hearing it, and we're still getting it done. So all of that animus and hatred and desire to control what other people should not control, you know, it really makes you appreciate this country, the First and Second, all of our amendment rights, why they're so important, why these debates.
Well, they're life or death important is what they are. I agree.
Yeah, well, we have to be able to disagree and argue to come to the best course of action.
Sure.
If you can't disagree and argue, then you're not going to take the best course of action. You're just going to take the dictatorial course of action. And so, you know, the fact we're still trucking in December 11th of 2024, I do hope that everybody out there is in good health and has a very blessed Christmas coming up. Has at least some type of light going. You got some type of light plugged in, Jeff? Do you have one of those LED candles in the window or something to protect yourself from spirits and ghosts?
Oh, I have one little lamp on my desk. It's an LED. That's it.
No, you need some type of little Christmas tree strand or something. Get yourself some type of light.
Oh, something for the season. Oh, I get it. All right.
I hang
something up on the front porch. It's a little item, a little decorative item, and that's about it. So, but I'm right there.
Well, you need to get some type of light on, some type of festive light. I wouldn't even want to. I don't even want to know what kind of ghosts visit Jeff Rentz over Christmas. So,
well, I'm sure there are a few of them around.
It's probably a pretty weird experience. So,
right.
You know,
it wouldn't be run of the mill. They'd be different, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, listen, you take care, and I hope all of you can do something out there. And I know if you can't, that's fine. I get it. It's not easy here. Believe me, it's not all roses. It's difficult, very difficult. But we get through it. So thank you for everything.
I'm glad to be in it with you, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, William. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. That's our number one, and we'll be right back with Erica and hour two. Lots going on out there, as you know. The war on humankind is not slowing down. Be right back.